With Halloween in a couple of weeks, can Christmas be far behind? Given the holiday spirit, to say nothing of the continuing resolution, contractor salespeople might be tempted to send a nice little token of appreciation to their federal customers. If you're about to unpack holiday decorations, it's also a good time to dust off the ethics rules. Joining me with more, Larry Allen, president of Allen Federal Business Partners. And Larry, I guess every year there are those that forget not even a mug, let alone, you know, dinner at a great steakhouse is acceptable and can be accepted by your federal customers.
That's exactly right, Tom. And it's important to understand that individual agencies may have different rules, as you inferred, than the standard gift-giving rules. And it's important to know that that well-intended gift could really backfire and get both you and your customer in trouble.
Because I remember having lunch once many years ago with an Army contracting official, a civilian, a very brilliant lady, and it was like a $10 thing in a hotel lobby restaurant during a conference. And I said, let me get it. You know, I don't sell anything to the Army. She said, no, I want to sleep at night. Whipped out a $10 bill. We each put our $10 bills down, and that's the way it was. And I always thought, that's really probably the best way for everybody to go.
Well, it is the best way, and it's the safest way. But the thing that contractors in particular have to keep in mind, Tom, is that government people are, in fact, people. And they will take gifts from you, even if they have taken ethics classes, and most do take annual ethics training. Sometimes, you know, they want to be treated specially. They want to feel special. That's kind of a normal human action to want to be singled out for doing something good. But when you do that, both you and your customer can get in trouble. And it's always the contractor, Tom, that ends up getting a little bit worse end of the deal, because if it's the contractor that is presumed to trying to curry favor in an inappropriate manner.
Because there are some celebrated cases of people taking trips and vacations and lavish luxury suites on contractors. Those are the outlier examples. It gets a little more subtle when you get to the specific rule, which I think is $25 per year or something, and no more than $10 per item.
The standard rule, Tom, is $20 per occasion and no more than $50 a year from any one company. And that's really important to understand, because if you're a larger company with multiple points of contact with the same government person, you could really inadvertently exceed that $50 annual limit very easily. And it's supposed to be a $50 annual limit. And some people say, well, I only took this person to the Palm once. Well, you know, right away you've violated the $20 per instance rule and probably have come right up against the $50 annual rule, depending on what was ordered. So you really have to be careful. But you're absolutely right in saying that the outliers, the junkets to St. Andrews, the offers of employment after your government services ended, those are the highlighting cases. But I've seen instances, Tom, where feds have gotten in trouble simply for taking a ride to the airport with a government contractor, even though the contractor and the government person were on the same plane going home.
I was going to say that $50 doesn't even get you a wedge of lettuce and blue cheese probably at the Palm. But yeah, those subtler things that seem to be almost as if they're more convenience than real value, a lot of federal employees just avoid them altogether anyhow. It could be embarrassing even if it's legal.
That's very true, and that's why it's important to ask. A lot of agencies, and particularly, Tom, political appointees, have zero tolerance limits for any gifts. So it's important to understand that aside from the official rules, there are a number of people who say nothing is the way we're going, and that's important to know. You think you might be helping a relationship? After all, giving gifts in the commercial world is a standard way of doing business. But in reality, you could be damaging a relationship that took years to build.
We're speaking with Larry Allen, president of Allen Federal Business Partners. And one more question on that. In the drug industry, for example, sometimes a salesperson will not send a gift to a doctor, but he'll send in a platter of bagels or something or a pizza to the office staff. Is that pretty much something that you should avoid also in federal contracting?
Well, those are the types of things, depending on how lavish the bagels are, that a lot of people...
Einstein.
Right. A lot of people would accept, but because it's under the technical limit. However, it's always best to ask first. Say, hey, I was thinking if you all might like some bagels on Friday morning, I'd love to send over a platter for the entire office, not for any one person. And they'll let you know. Your federal customer will let you know whether or not they have a zero tolerance rule in effect, or if that's the type of thing where, hey, we all like a nice bagel around Thanksgiving or Christmas.
And I guess maybe the safest thing to do, that was you.
Yeah.
Let me start that question again. Perhaps the safest thing to do is just get a set of holiday greeting cards and write a handwritten note to people and thank them. And nobody can argue with that one.
Nobody can argue with that, Tom. It's a standard practice. And I, for one, always keep all of the holiday cards I get and try to send out ones to the same. That's a great way to let somebody that is important to you in business know that you're thinking about them at the holiday time. It helps deepen that relationship without the risk of having it backfire.
And just do it on vellum using a blue-black fountain pen.
Right. And just something simple that has the pre-printed name of the company in place. And for heaven's sake, don't include any Capitals tickets inside.
All right. And quickly, you've also written this week about the draft category management document, a new circular actually coming from OMB. And you're thinking the category management program that is run by GSA, but really a government-wide effort, is devolving into just a low-price commodity type of operation.
Well, this is a concern, Tom, because category management at the government-wide level, I think, started out with really great intentions. It was started out with the idea to identify best practices and to encourage agencies to use best practices and to use contracts that were shown to provide good values and things of that nature. But it really left the ultimate decision on how to proceed to individual agencies. So, using what I would call the carrot approach to making good acquisition decisions. Now, though, with the release of this draft circular, which is kind of an odd step to take, not all circulars, for example, are put out for comment in draft form. Category management seems to be getting more into the thou shalt territory instead of thou should. And that's dangerous territory for the simple reason that history has not been kind to centralized acquisition efforts in the federal government. Tom, I could show several instances where OMB or GSA or DOD has tried to centralize acquisition either government-wide or inside an individual agency, and the first reaction of the people in the line level is always, oh yeah, we'll show you how we can do it better here, and very quickly, the centralized acquisition approaches fall flat in favor of a more agile, innovative approach at individual offices. This is a lesson that I hope the current Office of Management and Budget learns before it tries to proceed with instilling more mandatory practices in category management. I think they can hit a home run by staying with the encouragement to use best practices without a mandate.
Larry Allen is president of Allen Federal Business Partners. As always, thanks so much for joining me.
Tom, I appreciate the opportunity. I wish your listeners happy selling.
And we have a link to his blog at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive, where we'll also post this interview. And if you're that new generation of OMB, that's the place to check it out.